Hey guys, welcome back to Inner Monologue with me, Olivia Neal. Today we're going to be doing the Myers and Briggs personality test and finding out what personality type I am and the strengths and weaknesses and how that relates into romantic relationships. I'm also going to be telling you about how I met my childhood idols and how I scared the masseuse who came to my house. Okay, a few little updates before we get into the bulk of the episode. Today's going to be like more of like a not an educational one, but I'm going to try do less yapping. Like, the reason that I'm inspired to do more of a structured podcast today is because I personally don't listen to a lot of yappy podcasts, my own podcast. I just, like, that is not my type of thing. I mean, I could never listen to my own podcast, obviously. I'm just trying to think, like, what kind of podcast I listen to. It does come down to true crime podcasts. I love, like, or not even just true crime, like a deep dive theoretical podcast. Maybe like my friend Lewis, for example, he does YouTube videos and he does like deep dives on the history of X Factor or deep dives on like Y2K culture, stuff like that, and like the rise and fall of Y2K fashion. You know, there's like really long form content things on YouTube. Like, that's the kind of podcast I like to listen to. So podcasts I like to listen to are structured podcasts. YouTube, I like to watch like mind numbing nonsense. Like, I want to watch a girl sat in her kitchen cleaning up her mess for like 30 minutes while she talks about like what brand of laundry detergent she uses. I just want to be like, that's just my personal preference. Anyway, true crime podcast. Basically, the reason that I'm getting on this is because after last week's podcast, I went home and I downloaded this app called Urban, which my friend told me about. Urban is an app. It's almost like an ad. It's not an ad. I'd voiced to my friend that I wanted to get a massage, but I kind of said that I didn't love massages because my brain goes like a million miles an hour at all times. We've talked about this before. Like, when I'm in a spa and they're playing like relaxing music and I have to close my eyes, my brain goes to weird places and it already is going like a million miles an hour. So then I just start thinking about everything and overthinking things I said like 5 years ago, and I just like start spiraling when I'm getting a massage. And he basically told me about this app called Urban where you can hire a masseuse on this app to come to your house and give you a massage. And I was like, okay, like, maybe I should try this, because if I get someone like to come to my house, then I can like do whatever I want. Like, I can like put a YouTube video on the TV, I can put like something I'm watching on, I can put a podcast, like, and then my mind, like, I'll have my like mind preoccupied and I won't be spiraling. Like, I can actually enjoy the massage. So I did it and I like ordered this masseuse to my house, and you can literally get it within the hour. And she had like 1,000 reviews, everyone saying she was really good. I got a girl, by the way. I've never had a male masseuse. I was like, okay, if I'm having, I had to get the massage done in my bedroom. Weird, because my cats, I just knew it would be so annoying and would like be like trying to jump on top of the massage table and stuff, and they kind of sit downstairs with a little tray, so I couldn't lock them upstairs, so I had to lock them downstairs, so I had to get a massage in my bedroom. And I was like, right, let me just not get a man, because I don't know where this is gonna go. Like, you know, if I get a man, it might go a bit weird. I don't want to invite like a random man into my bedroom to massage me. Like, it just feels a bit too intimate. So I got a woman, she came in, like, it was a little bit awkward because I was like, can we do it in my bedroom? And she's like, okay. And she like set up the massage table in my bedroom, and I was like, oh, by the way, like, is it okay if I play a podcast on my TV? And she was like, yeah, that's fine, like, as long as you like you can do whatever you want, like, I have music if you want. And I was like, no music, please, I'll just put a podcast on. And I was like, also, by the way, like, it's a true crime podcast, but that's just how I like to relax. And she was like, okay, like, as long as you're relaxed, that's fine. So I put on an Eleanor Neal podcast. Oh, I fucking love Eleanor Neal's podcast. I love Eleanor Neal's YouTube videos. I just love her. And like, I've just like grown up watching Criminal Minds and like Law and Order and listening to, I remember Bella, I don't know if you guys know Bella Fiore, but she was like one of my favorite like murder true crime YouTubers when I was younger. And I love like doing my own little investigations. Like, I'll like hear like about like a murder or something, and then I'll like go in a full like or deep dive like research thing of my own. I just like find it really interesting. And because I've been listening to true crime and watching murder things for so long, it's almost like a way for me to switch off. So Eleanor Neal is a great true crime podcast. She talks about, yeah, not even true crime, just like murders. And she released one about the serial killer who killed Gianni Versace, and I was like, oh, bit of me, this is the fucking perfect podcast for me to listen to while I'm getting my massage. And I never heard, I've always knew Gianni Versace was murdered, but I never watched the like documentary, or like I never watched the, I think they did like a drama series reenactment kind of vibe for it on Netflix, but I never watched it. So I had no idea what to expect. So anyway, I lied on. She starts getting into it. By the way, like, this was the, like, most intense massage I've ever had in my life. And the whole time, like, I was, like, wincing in pain. And she was like, relax, relax. And I was like, ow. And she was like, is the pressure too hard? And I was like, no, it's fine. Like, I could not say she was going too hard. I just need to start, like, growing up when I'm in massages and just tell them what I want. Like, they will adjust accordingly, but, like, oh my god, to this day, but, like, I'm so bruised, all of my back is bruised. I can't lift my, this is as high as I can lift my arm right now because it's so sore. She really got stuck into me, but anyway, it's all going well. Eleanor Neal is giving us a brief introduction and kind of the backstory of the serial killer who killed Gianni Versace and many others, actually, so not just him. So I don't really know why I'm getting so into this right now. I'm just so interested in true crime, and you guys probably don't care at all. But anyway, introduction, like, pretty tame, whatever. And then we get into the murders, when the killing spree starts, and Eleanor Neal starts describing in detail. She doesn't really hold back in her podcast. Sometimes I feel like her YouTube, she holds back a little bit because, like, you can get demonetized and stuff. Whereas in her podcast, she was really giving, like, an in-depth description of how this man broke into an old man's house, like a senior citizen, like a 78-year-old man, took him to his own garage. I don't know why, if I should be saying this right now. Close your ears if you are triggered by gory details, because this is actually kind of gory. But, like, bear in mind, I'm sat here getting my massage and this is playing on full blast with this poor woman. Like, she just had no idea what to expect. So Eleanor Neal starts talking about he took the senior citizen into his own garage, tied him up, gagged him with a garden glove, and then stabbed him with his own garden shears. Like, he, like, tortured him for so long, and then, like, decapitated him. And this is, like, can you imagine how awkward this is while Eleanor Neal is getting into this? And, like, I'm just, like, sat there, like, I didn't even say anything. And I could tell the woman was probably, like massaging me, be like, what the fuck? Like, I'd be so terrified if I went into a stranger's home and they're just playing on full blast, like, a torture description and analysis. Like, I would be terrified for my life. Anyway, it was great, though, because it was the first time I was ever able to relax during a massage. And, like, my mind wasn't going a million miles an hour. I was just thinking about this torture, which I'm sure there are nicer things to think about during a massage, but at least it keeps my mind silent. Anyway, would highly recommend, because the girl came to my house, set up the table, you know, obviously she set up the table, like, she brought all her own stuff. For 60 minutes, right, this is in central London, and usually you spend, like, 90 quid, 100 quid on a massage in London. Like, even in Belfast, the massages are, like, 80 quid. Like, they are, massages are expensive. And I'm not a big massage person, so honestly, I don't really have much to, like, compare this to. And I've never been to a Thai massage place, but I would love to go to a Thai massage place, because everyone always talks about how amazing they are. But I don't think, I'm deeping it now. I don't think I like a deep tissue massage or, like, a sports massage. I want a relaxing one. Like, you know, like, I just love, like, my mom used to, like, tickle my back. I would, like, make her, like, come in and just tickle my back and scratch my back. Like, that's what I want. I don't, like, I wish I could just pay someone to do that. I don't want you to fucking, like, I don't want you to hurt me. I don't want to feel bruised the next day. She was like, you've got some, like, really bad, like, dead fibers in your back. Like, it's probably because of your posture. Like, do you work from home? You sit at a laptop all day, don't you? And I was like, yeah. As if I fucking have, like, a full-time job where I sit over a laptop. Like, I don't. I just have terrible posture, but I fully lied and told her that I work from home 9 to 5 on my laptop. But she was like, yeah, you've got really bad, like dead fibers, you need to be, like, getting, like, deep tissue sports massages every week. And I was like, yeah, no, I definitely will. I'm gonna book in again. Am I fuck? If I'm ever getting another massage, it's gonna be, I'm gonna, like, change the setting to, because you can choose all the different types of massages you want on Urban. Guys, this isn't an app. Anyway, by the way, it was 60 quid, which is, like, obviously, it's a bit, like, you're gonna have to, it's a luxury, it is, but kind of worth it. For me, so much better than going to a spa. Also, that, like, some people might love going to a spa and love that whole, like, ritual and, like, the vibes in there. But, like, I would just rather be in the comfort of my own home. I would rather get, like, everything in the comfort of my own home. Like, if I could get my nails done and my hair done. I know you can do all that stuff. I just, like, I don't know how to do it. But I know I figured out how to get massages at home. So that's my recommendation for the week, is the app Urban. What else did I get up to since we last spoke? I went to the Pink Panthers concert. It was so fun, but so cool to be there. And she was amazing. I really, really like her. She's a great vibe. I think we see not a lot of industry plants these days, but, like, we see people, like, get a record deal and then they blew up. Whereas I feel like she blew up from just like making songs on her laptop, like in her uni halls. I'm pretty sure she was, I can't remember what university she went to. I think it was like Goldsmiths or something, like one in London. And she was just like making little songs in her uni halls. And she like blew up and she stayed like that for a while before she like started, like before she started to record like with big artists and, you know, proper. Like she was a real like, I don't know. I feel like she's just like a normal girl and she's so nice. And it was just so cool to see her up there. She was performing at Alexander Palace as well, which is like the biggest, I don't know if it's the biggest venue in London, but it's a pretty iconic venue. And it was a really, really cool experience. But I need to tell you my highlight of the night. I met Jedward. Now, I feel like Jedward have like a huge historical, cultural significance with Irish people. I feel like they're like, back in the day, they were the biggest thing to come out of Ireland. Honestly, to this day, I always think about this, like, who has come out of Ireland? Well, there's obviously, like, Cillian Murphy. He's big. Barry Keoghan. How do you say his name? Whatever, however you say his name. He's pretty big. But, like, apart from that, who else are we, like, Jedward is up there, I think. And also, Jedward are, like, icons, whereas Cillian Murphy is not an icon to me. I think he's a great actor, but he's not anywhere near icon status as much as Jedward are. But they've had a real resurgence recently because of TikTok. I mean, you guys probably listening to this being like, who the fuck are Jedward? I think it was more just, like, an Irish thing. Oh, my God, if you're listening to this and you're Irish, do you ever remember Owen Quigg? X Factor was just a different time. Like, I remember I would, like, have my own favourites on X Factor every year, and I would make my mum, like, buy flags for these, like, we had Owen Quigg. If you don't know who Owen Quigg is, please look him up. He was, like, a Northern Irish, I think he was Northern Irish or Irish, guy who went on X Factor. And, like, upon reflection, I don't think he was actually that good at singing, but I thought he was Justin Bieber. Like, he was the next Justin Bieber. He was my Justin Bieber. He was my Michael Jackson. He was my everything. And we got flags with his face on it, and I would stick them on the window on the way to school so everyone would know that I was voting for Owen Quigg. I would love to know where he is these days. Like, Owen Quigg, Diana Vickers. Do you remember Diana Vickers? Where is she? Oh my God. She was the original indie singer. She was amazing. Oh, X Factor. I miss it. Do you remember like every, what was it? Every Saturday and Sunday? Every Friday and Saturday? I can't remember. That was like my highlight of my weekend. I remember my mum and dad would just go out every weekend and we'd get babysitters every weekend. And I would develop such a strong bond with my babysitters because, my parents loved to go out and we'd order Domino's and it was such a treat. Like I'd like secret, like we would lie to my parents and be like, yeah, no. I think my parents actually felt bad for like leaving me every weekend. Not me. I also have siblings as well, but they felt feel bad. So they'd let us get a takeaway and it was just fucking epic. We got a takeaway. We'd watch X Factor every Sunday night as well. And it was X Factor results. And my whole family, we're a family of five. We would get into my mum and dad's bed, all five of us on a Sunday night and watch the X Factor results. And it was just, it's just simpler times, wasn't it? Wow. By the way, speaking of babysitter, sorry, my mind, I literally said at the start of this podcast I wasn't going to gap in this podcast, it was going to be really structured, and here I am again going on tangents. I was with a group of people and I was like really joking. I think someone asked me, are you a nepo baby? And I was like, yeah, I am. Like my dad's like really, and my dad's really rich and famous. And they're like, oh, no way. And they're like, where, like did you grow up in like the countryside and stuff? I was like, yeah, like I had horses. And I was like, wait, did you guys like not have nannies and stuff? And like, I was playing this bit and then it got to the point that like it was a bit too believable. And I had to be like, guys, I didn't have horses or a nanny or anything. I'm so against. And like, and they all thought I went to private school. And I was like, I swear I didn't. No hate to you, honestly. It's like, because this is the thing. I was like having a discussion. I was like, I'm so anti like private school. And like, just like, I guess, I think moving to London, I met like a lot of posh people. And I was just like, ugh. No, but also the thing is, because I hate on it. Like, you ever watch Ricky Gervais? He always talks about the reason he won't have children is because he has obviously, like, he grew up, like, not going to private school. Like, he wasn't, like, he didn't grow up as, like, a rich London kid. And then he's now moved to Hampstead. And he himself is rich. So if he had a kid, his kid would be a little, like, rich Hampstead twat. And he's like, and that's why I'm not having kids, because I don't want that. I don't want that as my own child. So I'm like, I'm always like, yeah, if I have a child, like they will, or like I'm moving back up north somewhere. Like I'm moving to Manchester or back to Belfast. Like I won't have a child, like to be a little like rich London twat. Like I don't want that. I've always thought nannies is the most obscure idea. I'm like, how can you just have a child and then like, just like throw them off and be like, oh, someone else can take care of them. Or okay, boarding school and nannies were always the most craziest concept to me. Because imagine just having it. Like I know people, I've met people in London who were literally sent to boarding school from the age of like 9 years old until 18. I'm like, do you even know your fucking parents? Obviously, I'm sure they do, and I'm sure they have great relationships with them. But like, I would like, I just think the whole point in having a child is, maybe it's because I grew up, I just, you know, everyone is different and everyone goes to private schools or boarding schools for their own personal reasons, but I just always find it a little bit baffling. Like, I want to have my kids around. If I have kids, like, I hope I'll fuck with them a little bit, because they're like a byproduct of me. So I want to have them around. You know, I want to chat to them, know what's going on in their lives. I feel like if I went, they sent them to boarding school constantly, then what's the point? I'll just get a dog or something instead. I'd be closer with that. Anyway, yeah, so then I was talking about nannies, and then I was like, actually, you know what? I say like, oh, I'm so against nannies. I'll never do that. Like, why am I? I can look after my own child. And then I was like, ah, I'm so getting a nanny. I just know what I'm like. And I'll just be like, oh, like, I'm just not good with kids. And it's like, if you had the opportunity to have someone to just like, no, I wouldn't actually ever get a nanny. Don't hold me to it though. In 20 years time, if you like, no, I would never. Only reason I would ever get a nanny is if I go on holiday and I want to go have fun on holiday. And then like, I'll make the nanny look after the kids. But then I was like, my rule for myself when I have kids is they will not be coming on holiday with me until they will remember it forever. Because I went on, my mum and dad, for some, I guess because I was youngest, so it was different. So like, I wasn't of an age that I could remember what my siblings might have been. But like, there's some holidays that we went on when I was younger that I barely remember. So it was a complete waste of money and I did not need to be there. I could have stayed at home and I probably would have had just as good a time. So that's my thing. When I have children, they will not be coming on holiday with me until they can pay their own way, honestly. Like, why am I taking you on holiday for free? Anyway, that's my view on nannies and private schools. Don't know how we got into that. I was actually speaking to my friend about this recently, about attachment styles. I feel like it's quite like a hot topic at the minute. It's like what type of attachment style you have, whether it's like anxious, avoidant. There is another one as well, but I can't remember. And I think I definitely have a bit of an avoidant attachment style. It is true. Like if something, for example, if I'm close to someone or in a relationship with someone or even just like in a friendship with someone and something goes wrong or we fall out or they do something I don't like or I just like don't like the energy anymore, instead of, you know, persisting and sticking it through and working through, I often just like run or like distance myself or just like I avoid it, you know. I'm really bad at confrontation. I just like, yeah, like that is like my attachment style, which honestly probably isn't great. I don't know how to develop on that really that much. It's just my attachment style. It's not a good or bad thing. Anxious attachment styles can be really difficult as well. But then I also wanted to like talk about like personality types as well when we're in the whole like anxious attachment style or whatever it is. And I remember this like Myers and Briggs personality test, I think it's called. Let me look it up. Okay, so the Myers-Briggs personality test is a pseudoscientific self-report questionnaire that claims to indicate differing personality types. The test attempts to assign a binary value to each of four categories: introversion or extroversion, sensing or intuition, thinking or feeling, and judging or perceiving. One letter from each category is taken to produce a four-letter test result representing one of 16 possible personalities. So, for example, you could be like INFP or ESTJ, which means like extroverted, sensing, thinking, and judging. And I thought we could maybe like go through the test today together. It's got a few. I'm not going to like go through every single question and answer with you because it actually takes a while. I would love you to maybe, oh my God, you should do it along with me. If you haven't done it before, you should definitely do it. The problem with self-reporting questionnaires for me personally is I feel like I lie. Maybe I'm lying to myself. I just overthink every answer and I'm like, okay, am I just answering what I wish I was? For example, the second question is, do you spend a lot of your free time exploring various topics that catch your interest? I would say yes. And then I'm like, I spend most of my time on fucking TikTok. So I don't think that's true. You know, like, I actually feel like I lied to myself. So I'm going to try to be as honest as I can. But anyway, let's get into the Myers-Briggs personality test. I already did this test. I've done it a couple times and I feel like each time I get a different answer. And if that's not telling that I lie in my self-reporting questionnaires, I don't know what is. You regularly make new friends. Actually, speaking about this, I'm going to say agree, because recently I've been really on my like social shit. I've been, well, since I turned 22, I have made some amazing friends. Like, I think that this age, 22, like this year, is going to be the best year of my life. Also, oh my God. So in my last podcast, I kind of said that my half of my mouth is paralyzed, and I kind of assumed it was from Botox in my jaw and maybe it affected like my mouth, and now it's like paralyzed. Like that, like look at that. That side of my mouth is not fucking moving right now. I'm now thinking it could be Bell's palsy. So if that's the case, then the whole half of my face is about to get completely paralyzed. So maybe 22 is not gonna be the best year of my life, but I'm gonna go sort of out. I rang my mum on Saturday night. I went, sorry, tangent again. I brought Ruby out to a really nice restaurant. I owed her money because my card stopped working. It got blocked actually because they were asking me questions for about a year. Though they were asking me all sorts of questions, my bank, they were like, you need to tell us how much money you expect to receive next year and you need to explain all these like inputs and outputs. And I was like, oh, why? So I never answered, and then they completely cut me off. I was like, okay. And it was like when I was in New York as well, and I had just no money. And Ruby, thankfully, is very, very generous, and she just paid for my whole life the whole time I was in New York. So I owed her a lot of money. Obviously, I sent her the money, but to say thank you, I brought her out for a fancy schmancy dinner. So Ruby's like staying with me in London at the minute. She was staying with me this weekend. So I took her to this restaurant called The Dover. And it's kind of, I would say, London's version of Carbone. And you know how I feel about Carbone and how I speak about it all the time. And it's like huge on TikTok. It's a big like viral restaurant. The Dover is like a kind of new restaurant in Mayfair in London. So it is fancy, but it's like, oh my God, it's so good. I mean, yeah, it's fancy, but like I was looking at it, the Arrabbiata is 14 quid. So like, it's actually not that bad. And it's like the vibes in there. Like you could definitely like, if like we did not order that much and it wasn't that expensive. So if you're looking for like a really fancy restaurant date night, I would highly recommend going to this place. And they, cause it's like a New York Italian restaurant. But if you're ordering like cocktails and stuff, the bill is going to fucking, I would not recommend doing it. If you're planning on eating a lot, drinking a lot, I wouldn't go there. But if you're like, you just want to go to a nice fancy restaurant. Cause sometimes like that's the thing. Like I very rarely go to fancy restaurants. I much prefer just like, I've been obsessed with Nando's recently. Well, I brought Ruby to Nando's last night and she didn't like it. So we're not going to talk about that. But sometimes I just like going to a fancy restaurant, like getting all dressed up to go to a restaurant. Like I'm not going to get all dressed up to go to Nando's. So like it was nice to just go to a nice restaurant. So we went to the Dover. I don't know if I said that. The Dover. It's a really, really nice restaurant. And while I was there, my face started getting more paralyzed. So I was like, I'm going to ring my mum right now because like I've been making jokes about this and my face being paralyzed. I've been making jokes, but like it is actually getting a little concerning. So I FaceTime my mum. It's like 10 p.m. at this point. I'm in this restaurant and she answers. She's like, hello, are you okay? She's like, why am I ringing my mum at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night? I was like, mum, I'm just calling to let you know that half my mouth is paralyzed. And she was like, and I was like, I don't know if anything's going to happen, but I'm just letting you know just in case. I don't know what's going to happen, but at least you have a warning now that it's started to become paralyzed. And she was like, Olivia, I think you need to go to hospital. And I was like, I would, but I'm just in a really nice restaurant right now, so I'm not going to. And then I haven't gone. And then it was Sunday the next day. I'm not going to go to A&E on a Sunday. Also, I don't believe in going to A&E, honestly. I have some people, like, I've met, not like, even friends of mine have gone to A&E over the stupidest thing. I will not go to A&E unless my fucking leg is hanging off. Like, I have been on the toilet pissing, sorry, blood, like really bad, like on the floor crying in pain, like screaming. My mum's on the phone like, Olivia, you just need to go to fucking A&E, you know, like this is so bad, like your body is shutting down. And I'm like, Paula, I will survive, I'm not going to A&E. I'm just not about that. Like I'll sometimes maybe go to the doctor, but I'm not going to A&E. So my mum was like, yeah, go to A&E, like if your face is becoming paralyzed, like that could be a sign of something really bad. And I was like, you know what? What doesn't kill me makes me stronger, Paula. I'm having some amazing pasta right now, so I'm not going to A&E. Anyway, By the way, I've already done this quiz, so I'm not going to like go through every single question. And I already have my answer, but I just wanted to elaborate on some questions, on some answers. But yes, anyway, as I was saying, 22, I think is going to be a great year of my life. I've made already some like lifelong friends, I feel. I've actually spoken to a few people and they said 22 is the best year of their life. So I'm feeling optimistic. And I just, yeah, it's just been good vibes so far. And I'm keeping my energy really high. And I've just been living life anyway. Seeing other people cry can easily make you feel like you want to cry too. I disagree because it makes me uncomfortable. I'm not a very emotional person myself. Like I'm not massively sensitive. I don't cry a lot. And I don't feel as though many people cry to me a lot. And like, okay, if my best friend is crying to me, of course I'm going to be there for them and like I'll comfort them or whatever. But it doesn't make me feel like I'm going to cry. So I'm going to disagree. You usually stay calm even under a lot of pressure. Agree or disagree? I'm going to agree with that one because I'm a very logical thinker. And I think, I honestly think, like, asking someone what their favorite subject was in school can tell you a lot about them. I find that, like, my friends who were really into English and art and music and stuff are very emotional thinkers rather than logical, which is not a bad thing at all. Like, it's like a nice thing to like think with your heart rather than your brain sometimes, but I also find that like they can let their emotions control them, whereas I feel like I am at a point now where I really can like I don't let my emotions control me at all. Like I feel like I'm in control of my emotions, and it's not even that. It's like some people like they'll get so like I don't know, maybe I'm just cold. Anyway, you often find an excuse to avoid attending a social event that is not mandatory. I'm going to have to agree with that. I'm quite a flaky person. It just depends, like, what era I'm in. Sometimes, you know me, I like to be a little homebody and it's hard to get me out of that rut. So, like, I'm a flake. I'm sorry. I just like to be at home sometimes. I won't, like, okay, if it's someone's birthday, for example, I'm not flaking on them. But if it's, like, oh, like, we're going to go to the pub and grab a pint, I will flake, probably. I'm trying not to this year, actually, and I've been telling you guys in this podcast, like, I'm trying to make a point this year of just saying yes to everything, and I'm actually following through with plans, and if I see someone, like, a friend on a night out, I'm like, oh my god, we need to do something soon, I'm actually trying to, like, do it, because I think that's such an easy thing to say, like, when you see something you haven't seen for a while, you're like, oh my god, let's do something soon, and then you never say anything. I'm trying to, like, change that, because I feel like I do that too much, so now I'm, like, actually be like, let's actually go get a coffee or something, or, like, I'll text them the next day, so I'm trying to do that, because it's a really bad, I hate when people do that to me. I hate when people are like, oh my god, let's get dinner soon. And then you never hear from them again. Okay, the next question. You feel comfortable just walking up to someone you find interesting and striking up a conversation? I'm going to have to strongly disagree with that one. I feel like my confidence has grown a lot and my social skills have gotten a lot better as I've grown older and as I've been like putting... Like, some of the situations, like, the social situations I put in are really intense. Like, I'll be in a room with a lot of people or just a lot of strangers. And I feel like I've gotten better at more, like, if I'm introduced to someone, I'm able to chat to them, away to them. I'm not the kind of person that can go up to someone and speak to them. Like, even, and I that is, again, something I want to work on, but, like, I'm going to have to disagree for now. Maybe next year when I do this test, it's going to change. But, like, if I see someone like wearing something I really like, or like I really like a girl's like hairstyle or something, if I'm at an event, like I would never go up and be like, by the way, I love your hairstyle. Why? Like, I wish I could do that, because like that'd be so nice. And like when people, if anyone ever does that to me, I'm like, wow, what a great person. That's so kind of them. But like, I just don't have the confidence to do that. I can't walk up and strike a conversation with a stranger, unfortunately. I wish I could. You're not too interested in discussions about various interpretations of creative works. I love fashion, and I love like archive fashion, and I would go to a museum to see like archive pieces and the inspiration behind like different collections. Like, that is the only art that I'm interested in the interpretations of. But I don't love like paintings and the interpretations of paintings. I'm still yet to get into that. I beat myself up for ages. Remember, I was like, I just don't like museums and I don't like galleries. It's not, okay, I still hate a gallery. My worst nightmare is a gallery date. Can you imagine meeting someone like off like Hinge or something and like going for a coffee in a gallery date? That is my hell. There's my worst nightmare, and then there's that. And that is something I don't like that about myself, because I think that like, people going on little gallery dates, or even just like my friends will like go check out an exhibition. I'm like, good for you. Like, that is really enriching for your brain, but it's not for me. I wish it was. But I've now gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, actually, you know what? I don't love paintings and and like sculptures and stuff. I haven't really found what I love that in that area yet, but I do love fashion, and that is something. So I shouldn't beat myself up. Facts and logic drive your actions more than emotions do. Agree. Someone said you rarely worry about whether you make a good impression on people you meet. Oh my God, this is something I think about every single day. I really think about the way others perceive me, and I don't want to, and it shouldn't be something I think about so much. And I think especially if I meet any of you guys, and you know what's so crazy is, like, you know me so well. Like, you know the ins and outs of my brain. Like, this is literally this podcast is the most exposing thing of how my brain works, because I just sit and like ramble and say everything that comes to my brain. So like, I feel like you guys actually know me so well. And then if I ever meet you or on the street, I feel like I get so awkward, and it must be so confusing for you, because you're like, I know you, like, why are you acting so different? And it's because I get so flustered, and then I walk away, and then I get really scared about my first impression with you and like how you might perceive me. And it's not even just you guys, it's like everyone in life. Like, I'm always walking away from it being like, I wonder if I just came off across, like, a bit too strong, or I wonder if they just like didn't like my vibe, or if I was like too much, or I just think about that way too much. And it's probably not a good thing, but you enjoy participating in team-based activities. I'm going to disagree with that one. I never really loved team things. I mean, I played hockey a lot and stuff, and that was a team, but I think I have quite a natural, like, I like to take, like, you know what? In school, I think I was a little bit bossy. I think I naturally want to take on like the leader role of the group. Like in drama, I did drama A level, and we had some like groups where like we had to do like a duo performance and stuff. I remember, and it wasn't just me, and honestly I think it was like a lot of the like drama kids were all like this. Like, we were all just like little like sassy. Like, I wasn't even like, I was not like that in real life, but when it came to drama, I was like, oh my God, the tension in that drama room where it was insane. Having to devise a piece of like drama with a group of people who are not all thinking the same thing, like no one, like you all have to creatively agree, and everyone has to turn up to every rehearsal, otherwise it fucks up the whole thing. Like, some people like might not be taking it seriously, and the others might be taking it seriously, and it causes, because like already everyone that does drama has a lot of people that do drama have big personalities, so it was like clashing a lot. And like, there was one boy in my group, I was like, I will never, ever speak to, like, we were friends for years. I was like, I will never speak to him again after working in this group with him. So after that, I was like, maybe I'm not like a group activity kind of person. After like drama, I mean, if you did drama GCSE or drama A-level, I feel like you'll know what I mean. Like, working in a group in those like not high pressure situations, but even like creative situations can honestly just like ruin the whole thing for you. Because, like, when I played, like, team sports, I was completely fine. I didn't take, like, that, like, I wasn't really, like, I didn't take the leadership at all, because I was, like, never captain or anything. And I was completely fine. I loved it. But, like, when it comes to something, like, yeah, I guess it's, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Because even now, like, whenever I play, like, games, you know, like, when you just, like, have, like, games night, and I work in a team, I get so frustrated. And, yeah, I just don't think I'm a team person. It's not a good trait, Olivia. You would rather be in charge of improving team efficiency than morale. Again, we're back to the team thing. I'm going to give you an analogy here. The team is my friend group, and the situation is we're going on a night out, and we are trying, maybe, let's say we're all meant to be going to a party, and we're trying to get in, and we're struggling. Am I A, going to troubleshoot the problem and find us a way to get in? Or am I B, going to keep the energy high and make everyone have a good time? I'm troubleshooting the problem, I think. But that is, again, something I'm working on. Don't get me wrong, sometimes I have my moments, sometimes I have my moods, but I've been making an effort to keep the spirits high and the energy high. And when people complain, I always say, oh, you just complain, you're gonna have to do a shot, because complaining is the devil. And even if you, like, I say this all the time, like, with my friends, like, for example, a lot of my friends wear high heels, and they'll know we're going on a night out, and they'll wear high heels anyway, and then they'll complain about their feet hurting the whole time. I will wear high heels, my feet will wreck, and you won't hear a peep. I will not complain once. Don't get me wrong, of course I complain, but it's actually a really, really bad habit that I think that we all do way too much, and we don't even notice we do it. I think next time, like, you, this is like my advice for you, is like, really, like, take knowledge, not knowledge, be aware of how much you complain, and because it stops you from doing it so much if you're aware of how much you're doing it. I think a lot of us, it's just like second nature now to complain or like just say like negative things, be like, oh, like this walk is, or it's so cold, or this walk is so long, or I can't be bothered to go out tonight. Like, I'm like, okay, just don't do it. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, for example, if I was on a night out and my feet were hurting, instead of complaining, I'm either going to go home and troubleshoot the problem, change shoes, or I'm just going to shut up and just get on with it instead of complaining. So that's my advice. I don't really know why I got into that, but that's like, I feel really strongly about that because I don't believe that complaining is good for you. So there's like two different websites that you could do this test on. And I was sitting getting my hair done earlier and I did a test on one of the websites and then a test on the other. And it's like slightly different questions. And I got two different personality types. But upon reading the different personality types explanations, I do think I resonate with one more than the other. So I'm going to like discuss that answer and like that result. But again, I would take this all with a pinch of salt when you do it because I literally got two different ones within the space of half an hour. But I got ENTP. So let's get into what an ENTP is. They tend to be bold and creative, deconstructing and rebuilding ideas with great mental agility. They pursue their goals vigorously despite any resistance they might encounter. Quick-witted and audacious people with the ENT personality type aren't afraid to disagree with the status quo. What does that mean? In fact, they're not afraid to disagree with pretty much anything or anyone. Few things light up these personalities more than a bit of verbal sparring. And if the conversation veers into controversial terrain, so much the better. I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I don't know if I'm a huge debater, especially in real life. Like, I, as I said earlier, like, I'm so against confrontation. I hate confrontation. But I definitely feel strongly about a lot of things. So, yeah, it depends. If I have a drink on me, I will debate with anyone. But like day to day, I'm a pretty like easygoing person. It would be a mistake to think of ENTPs as disagreeable or mean-spirited. Instead, people with this personality type are knowledgeable and curious with a playful sense of humor, and they can be incredibly entertaining. Sorry. They simply have an offbeat, contrarian idea of fun, one that usually involves a healthy dose of spirited debate. I would say I'm a very curious person, and you know what, I would say I'm pretty knowledgeable. My friends do say that all the time, like when we play like brain games or anything, they're like, oh, Olivia's gonna win, like she like knows too much. I have this thing that I think the only reason that a boy will ever like me is because I ask him questions constantly, and people love to speak, especially boys, depending on what kind of boy you go for, but the I think the personality type of my type of boys, like that I'm into, all love to speak about themselves. Red flag. Anyway, not necessarily a red flag, but I encourage it because I'm a curious person and I ask so many questions, and it's just a match made in heaven, the two personality types. I would say, yes, I am curious, and I think I've got a playful sense of humor. Okay, so some strengths are knowledgeable. I'll take that. Quick thinker. I'll take that. Original. I wouldn't take that. I think I literally just follow any trend that comes my way, to be honest. Excellent brainstormers. I don't know. I don't really brainstorm a lot in life, so I don't know. Charismatic, I'll take that. Energetic, again, we'll take that because I, even if I'm exhausted, I'll push through and I'll give you some energy. I managed to pull it out of nowhere. It probably is the copious amount of caffeine, to be honest. Weakness, very argumentative. Guess I don't know. Would you say I'm argumentative? Like, in relationships, I think I am. But it's like, you know when like, if you ever got to a part of a relationship where you actually just like despise the person and like no matter what they say you just disagree with, that's a horrible place to get to. I would never, like, if you ever feel that way, just break up, like you don't need to stay together. But yeah, I would say like I can be argumentative. I'm a very I'm empath, is that the word I'm thinking of? Like I feel like I can really put myself in the shoes of other people. Empathetic, that's it, and understand how they feel. But I think I can act quite rationally and impulsively. And sometimes I think that can be insensitive because I don't consider all the implications and the consequences of my actions, maybe. intolerant. Unless people are able to back up their ideas in a round of mental sparring, I'm likely to dismiss not just the ideas, but the people themselves. Honestly, it depends. If I'm arguing with, like, a stupid person, but if they've got a stupid point, I just can't deal with it. If you're not going to back it up with some hard facts, I cannot deal with it. Can find it difficult to focus? What? Me? I can find it difficult to focus. Yeah, I fear they might be onto something there. I think you guys probably understand that I find it difficult to focus. I literally, like, the way I speak in this podcast is an epitome of that. So quickly before I end this, I mean, there's so much stuff I can go through here, but they've got a romantic relationships section. So I want to see what they say. So apparently I can be both a thrilling and challenging partner. I can bring my trademark enthusiasm and intellectual curiosity to my romantic life, often resulting in a relationship that's filled with passion and constant growth. This can be an overwhelming process. Yes, I do agree. I think a lot of my relationships are often like a passion project. Like, I love it for like 2 months and it's amazing and everything's perfect and it's like a movie. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's like, it's not doing it for me anymore. Like, my mind's going elsewhere. Not in that way, but it's just like I do need like constant stimulation, I guess. I don't know. But I do agree. Like, I go in way too intense. And it's just like, yeah, it's like it fizzles out. Their natural impatience and restlessness may become evident as they constantly seek novelty and express their disdain for monotony. I think that's true. Like, I think because I start with relationships so intense and so exciting, and like I like to do fun things and go on a holiday like really soon on, and everything's really exciting, that when it like starts to, and you know, like, you know how when you just meet someone that you really, really like, and like the feelings, you just feel like on top of the world, you literally feel like you're on drugs. That's not gonna last forever. Like, that's like your honeymoon phase, and then things start to go back into normal life and you need to learn to just like coexist with your partner, and you are gonna like do have like mundane days with your partner, and it's not gonna always be like rainbows and butterflies and feel like a movie. And I think I struggle with that a little bit, but at least I'm self-aware about it, so that's what's important. I was gonna say I'll work on it, but like, I'm not gonna work on it because I'm not having another relationship for 15 years maybe. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. You guys should go do the test and let me know what you think. I actually, like, I also went on TikTok and I looked at my personality type, and I found it really interesting because like you could see like different characters from movies and stuff that are your personality type. I don't really know how people have figured this out, to be honest, but mine was Tony Stark, and I was like, okay, so it's like a cold-hearted, like, it's Iron Man. Like, I am Iron Man, essentially. That's my personality type. So don't know what that means, but it's really interesting. And you guys should do the test, figure out your personality type, and then go find out which movie characters are your personality type, because I had a great time doing that in the hair salon this morning. Anyway, love you so much, and I will see you on Friday for Mini Monologue. Bye.